Oh, man, guys, I really am. There's no other way for me to say this. All right. My feelings are hurt.
Tell the people why, though.
My feelings are hurt, man. I did not expect a performance like that from my offense. I just did not. I didn't expect it. If you were sleeping under a rock and don't know the Dallas Cowboys lost in the playoffs to the San Francisco 49ers yesterday at Levi's Stadium, 19-12. And Danny McCray, we had our opportunities in this game. We really did. And I think for everybody out here, you have to be in a state of confusion right now, because the game that you saw and the game that you expected did not happen. And at some point, you said to yourself, this ain't it. When was that for you? When was the this ain't it?
I'm trying to get the game. I'm on the plane. And the pass to Michael Gallup, where the defensive back ran the route, and the ball was thrown to him for an interception. I just went to straight back to these previous games where Dak was out there just handing it over to the to the other team, and that's when that confidence that I had, because I was on the fence all week, like, man, I don't know, man, but if Dak come out and play a certain way, protect the ball, and let his defense have it, then I'm good. And I was done after that. I was like, we already here with this.
Yeah.
We here with this.
We here now.
These dudes, Michael Parsons, them, D-Law, they ready to go out here and ball out, ready to play against Mr. Irrelevant. Know they going to make some stuff happen, keep you in the game like we've been saying all year, run the ball, play defense, protect the ball, and we always got a shot. That's what I saw. Oh, nah, we in trouble.
That was in the first half.
If you cannot protect the ball against a defense like that, you have to end the drive with a kick. That's field goal, PAT, or punt, because these two defenses are going to force you to drive the ball a long way. And when you do that, you're going to eventually make a mistake.
Yeah.
We are the ones that made the damn mistakes.
Right.
Yeah, so when he started – it looked so bad. I was like, oh, yeah, we on that foolishness today. That man – hey, one more. 3 weeks ago, maybe four, I said, I don't know, why we keep throwing these hitch routes to Michael Gallup? Why do we continue to these people are sitting on those routes, and that's no shot at Michael Gallup. He's coming off an ACL injury. Mm-hmm. He doesn't look like he's been able to come out of the brace like he used to. They sitting on the routes every time. You running a comeback on 3rd and 9, whatever it was, you know you're gonna sit on the sticks.
How many times have we seen that ball get picked off? We saw it was against Philadelphia.
Yep.
Cooper Rush got it, and then Dak got it, I believe, against Green Bay.
Did Gilmore get him?
Gilmore got him. So it's the same route, the same guy, and the same result, and you come right back to it. And the thing about it to me, the whole play looked out of rhythm and it looked late, right? The throw was late. But what I question is, how did he not see it, though?
The guy ran the route for him.
I mean,
it looked like Gallup didn't even, think the ball was coming his way. The way he came out the break, he was like, oh, wait a second. And by that time, it was too late. I mean, the guy ate up his cushion and it was a wrap. Looked like a defensive back drill.
I'm telling you, man.
How did he not?
Bro, it was red in between the two Cowboys. You just don't throw it, bro. Mm-hmm. Especially, like, that's just being careless when you know that you've had a turnover problem. I promise this ain't going to happen again. I promise I'm going to get this fixed. Come on, dog. But I'm telling you, I saw it. We on the plane. I'm telling you, the plane was like, oh, no, man, here we go. Here we go. We all on the plane in the collective, like,
Know what y'all watching. Yeah. Y'all watching it together.
Watching it together.
Hey, Barry, what about you, man? Let's just go through that first interception by Dak. What were your thoughts?
The one with, I think his name is Lenore, the corner out there. To me, we talking about breaking points or just that interception?
Just that interception.
Oh, yeah. It comes down to too much belief in your arm on that one. I mean, I feel like he, at that moment, thought, I can fit this into any small area. Even as covered as that thing looked up, I can still find a way to fit it in there where if it's not a catch by a receiver, it's incomplete pass. And that was completely, the wrong choice. Because when you look at it, the guy, Lenore, the corner, was coming out of his break before Gallup was. Yeah, and he had his eyes on the ball. Like, man, he transitioned from man-to-man coverage, looked up the ball in the way. And it wasn't like he just kind of dove in a way. The man had time to take a gallop step, jump, take it at his highest point, come back down. Like, there was no type. It was a bad pass. It was a bad pass, a bad read altogether. And to me, it just comes down to not only decision makings, but are you seeing the field? Are you seeing these coverages? Because we'll talk about the other interception later on, but it's like he gets it in his mind like, all right, this is where I'm going with the ball. No matter what the defense is showing me, no matter what that defensive back does out there, I'm going here with the ball. And when he feels just a little bit of pressure, he's automatically, all right, this is where I'm going with it. So, I mean, he's got to play better. But that was one bad interception right there.
Season's over. All
right. He got to play better. Get to the lab.
That's how I feel right now. Hey, man, you're not, now it's dead around here for 8 months. Mm.
So you go 3-0. San Francisco 3-0 in the first after the first quarter.
Defense saving you.
Defense is standing on their head.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to DeMarcus Lawrence.
No, no.
I'm sorry, I just had to give.
No. You shout them out as we go.
All right.
Okay. As you hear it, as you feel it, mm-hmm. say their name. Yep. All right. No, don't you hold nothing
shout
back.
Shout out to Tank.
Okay. Shout out to LVE.
His impact this season has been felt on more than just the stat sheet.
Yeah.
The man has been a difference maker in all facets of the game. We already knew about the big bazooka, Leighton Vander Esch. I mean, defensive backs, they came to play, bro.
Yeah, they was hitting too.
They came to play. Last two games, the playoff games, you cannot say anything about the defense and it being their fault. Not even close. Mm-hmm. Not even close. Remember, the Trayvon Diggs dropped the pack. Man, them boys was out there balling. That ball was tipped twice.
He was playing.
What are you talking about?
let's go to the second quarter. Right. And in the second quarter, you talk about the defense countless times overcoming the dysfunction of the offense. Time and time again, your defense is having to bail you out mm-hmm. with big plays. Not big plays. And our offense can't capitalize. They come back. You get a touchdown to Dalton Schultz, okay? And seemingly your offense now is –
We ready.
I don't know about you, but when that happened, I was like, all right, we good. All right, don't worry about it. We good. All right, whatever happened, Dak, don't worry about it. We straight. We good now. All right?
Mm-hmm.
But then, as we've talked about all week long, Brett Maher on the block PAT.
I was going to miss that anyways. You can see the angle. The man was way to the left that blocked it, so – the trajectory of the ball, unless he had a mean fade on that.
To add insult to injury, that ball would have, dog, that ball would not, not only if it would not have hit the net, that joint would have went out the tunnel.
Somebody had a souvenir.
A game ball.
Somebody over there like this.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Let me get that. I don't know.
And then I had to go right back to, oh, here we go.
See how you felt when Maher did that? That's how I felt when Dak threw them interceptions. We over here, we all on Maher mm-hmm. about missing kicks. And when you said last week, oh, the position is different. No. Because we was all living off that high from the Tampa game. And we was like, oh, it's all fixed. It's not that big of a deal. Oh, it's a very big deal when you are handing the ball over to the other team. And then your kicker ain't making his PAT. Now he did, you know, he did his thing for the rest of the game. But goodness gracious,
Yeah, this thing that happens. All right, you come right back, and this is the play to CeeDee Lamb, guys. Y'all got to help me out on this. All right, I need help
that
on this.
That's it right there.
Because that interception was the hardest one for me to take because he didn't see him. Lenore, that one, he didn't see that one either. But I, for darn sure, no, he didn't see Ward, I believe. He didn't see him mm-hmm. step in between that when he throws that ball. And that's the scariest part about that for me. How can you not see your guy that he's going to cover that zone?
Mm-hmm.
How difficult is it for a quarterback to hit one guy in the chest and then the ball ricochets to the other guy?
When two guys got a chance to pick it, you know it's a bad pass. It's terrible.
Man, that's football 101.
Let me tell you something, and I'm putting it on Dak, and I'm putting that on Kellen too. Bro, these people know what is coming. Okay, how many times will CeeDee Lamb run across the field, run a damn jerk route?
Yeah, a lot.
You gonna run a jerk route in zone? You think them dudes don't know? You think they don't know that's what's coming? If CeeDee Lamb is running intermediate or short stuff, it's either he's going all the way across or coming right back. He usually ain't doing nothing else in that area. Mm-hmm. He ran a simple jerk route. And the dude was like, saw this on film. I got him. And both of them fighting over it.
Who going to pick it
they
first?
They both fighting over it.
You can have it like yours.
Go somewhere. Go. They know. But we years ago, Buda Baker let us know. He let us know, man, hey, we know what these guys are doing. Yeah. We know what they're doing. And it's continued to show itself on tape that they do. They do. Simple film study from these guys on defense will tell them what is happening and where Dak will be going with the ball. That's the only way you can explain both of them guys sitting there like, oh, yeah, he's going to give us one. Oh, he's the guy now. He's that guy now. He's going to give us one.
Seen, you know how we talk about him in meetings. Just be patient, guys. He's going
to
give you
one. Ryan used to say, hey, stand right here, 2x6, he'll throw it to you.
Hide in the weeds. They used to call it just hide in the weeds. He'll throw you one.
2x6 off the tackle. You stand right there, and I guarantee you he'll throw it to you. Hit you right in the hands. All you got to do is catch it. That's what them dudes, that's what D'Amico Ryan told them dudes.
Yeah, he did.
When you look at that second interception, I'm just giving you your time to outline your thoughts on that. What were your thoughts when you saw that whole play developing, you know, super slow-mo and the way that that unfolded for that?
You can tell. And it's crazy because you could tell on TV when they were going to cover two. You see Fred Warner going, giving the signal, everybody doing it around, and they go on into cover two. To me, that pick simply came down to, and it's all on Dak. To me, that's all on Dak. That was a terrible throw. But it's tunnel vision. Like he's not seeing the whole picture. And I'm not going to sit up here and act like it's easy to play quarterback. I never played it in my life. But it looked like from what we're seeing – he's just simply tunnel vision. And like I said earlier, no matter what the defense shows, I'm going to throw it to this target because I believe that in my arm I can fit it in there. You've seen he whipped back, and you see you can tell he's not seeing the whole field because he feels like he has Fred Warner beat, and Fred Warner's chasing. He got nothing but open grass over there. But if you look a little further, you'll see Ward chilling right there in the nickel spot. He was in the slot just eyes all on the quarterback. Oh, that's where you're going with it. I'm going to jump this thing. And these are mistakes that you would think you would see from a Brock Purdy out there or a younger quarterback in that regard. This guy in year seven. Year seven. This ain't, rookie. This ain't nothing. This is year seven, and you still see these mistakes out there. And it's just bad because it just shows you the whole season how up and down he was, how inconsistent he was. And it ended up, biting his team in the butt when it mattered most, his inconsistencies, man.
He was consistent.
Consistently inconsistent.
He was throwing picks. I'm just six games? Multiple interceptions? Something like that?
Yeah, it was like five or six, I think.
He consistent. Yeah. No. Not just one. He'll get two off of you. And he was consistently throwing pick sixes. Yeah, man, he was consistent.
17 picks.
You know what I love about you, Barry? One of the things, man, like, I'm getting to know you on this show. I know when you're being sarcastic with me. I do. I couldn't figure it out at first when I first met you. But I figured it out, And a couple weeks ago, you asked me a question, and you put it together like this. You said, Heckma, you watch a lot of film. You're a color analyst. I know you do your thing. You watch a lot, But when you see Dak, what do you think?
I said to myself, I said, this.
It just hit you.
That's when it hit me. I said, oh, he messing with me right now. I can't believe dog. And my dog, I'm like, oh, he playing with me.
And you thought it was me.
I thought it was you. All the whole time.
D-Mac, I'm sorry. It ain't you.
It's him.
You want to talk about me?
It's him. Hey, Mattel, what do you see when you watch that?
He wants you to say it.
Yeah, he wants me to. Yeah. He's goading me. He's leading me into the response he wants me to give. Man. And I'm going to tell you, man, I have fought for, I've stood on the table for Dak. I've said so many times and time again, dog, I respect this dude's character. Everything about him, I'm one of the people, dog, if you have had to overcome anything, I rock with you. Mm-hmm. You see me with any of my homeboys, anybody, hey, I rock with. No, I'm talking about something personal.
Oh, you're talking about for the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If you have to overcome something personal in your life, some death, situation.
They play for the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
I want to make because, okay.
No, I got all right, you. All right. But this guy right here, yesterday what I saw was dysfunction at its highest degree.
When you don't see it, when you just, you're not processing it. And it doesn't matter if it was Brock Purdy, and they made Brock Purdy look like a rookie quarterback yesterday. He looked like Mr. Irrelevant. I don't care what nobody say. All right, that defense was on him like that. But guess who else looked like Mr. Irrelevant? And for him to play like that in those moments, isn't that what he pays you for? For this moment right here? It's not the regular season. It's for these championship moments. And to come up like this, man, that's the most disappointing thing to me, is that he didn't rise to the level of quarterbacks that we've been seeing all weekend long. And it wasn't like he had to play out of his mind. Mm-mm. He didn't even need the same performance that he had in Tampa Bay. He needed just that much more, and he couldn't deliver. And I guess as a fan base, as an organization, that's the most disappointing thing when you come back and you look at this, because everybody says, you know, football is the ultimate team game. But I'm sorry. You circle these plays on offense, and you clearly have a roadmap to why you did not win the game. And Ford had everything to do with it.
He did. And let's not act like he was under duress. All right, because even though they had that vaunted defensive line for the 49ers, Nick Bosa only had two tackles. He had a couple pressures out there, but that offensive line, I think, played their tail off. I mean, at least when it came to pass protection. Run, that's another story. We understood, you know, they were number one against the run, and it's going to be tough to run the ball against them. But pass protection-wise, I mean, those guys held their own. Dak had time back there. He just didn't make the right decisions, or his ball placement just wasn't in the right place. But this one's on four, man. That's all it boils down to.
DC, they had 27 – San Francisco had 27 yards rushing at halftime.
That's it.
27 yards. Mm. For everything that we said about them as a team going into this game, if I told you San Francisco has 27 yards rushing at halftime, what would you say?
We win.
We win!
That's it.
We win that game.
You hold them under 20.
What? Hold them under 20. You win that game. You had everything right there for you to do it, and I tell you what, man. I'm a woosah. I'm going to get back into my Cowboy Kool-Aid. And we're going to take a break.
Still got that Kool-Aid?
I still got the I have the power back up.
We got Church talking about that got to play better. Season's over, okay? Ain't no more Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid is done.
We're going to take our first break. I'm going to try to get some of this Kool-Aid passed around and see if we can get back on track with this defense coming up on the Players' Lounge.
With Smoothie King's original angel food and new angel food slim without added sugar, you no longer have to choose between treating yourself and hitting your goals this summer. You don't have to choose between great taste and feeling great. Because at Smoothie King, every blend is made with whole fruits and no syrups, so you can satisfy your cravings without compromise. The only choice you will need to make is which one is best for you. Try our classic angel food or the new angel food slim, blended without added sugar. Smoothie King. Rule the day.
Attention Cowboys fans looking for the best shave of your life. There's a new official razor of the Dallas Cowboys, Shave Logic. Imagine not having to buy blades as often and getting more smooth shaves than your old razor, guaranteed or your money back. After more than 10 years of research and over 150 company patents, Shave Logic is proud to offer Cowboys fans a special offer. For a limited time, visit ShaveLogic.com and get a free $10 gift card with your purchase. Go to ShaveLogic.com now for more smooth shaves. Shaves guaranteed.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. You hear that? I'm a torrential downpour. Torrential? What's that even mean? It means you can't see out of your windshield. And if you have the wrong car insurance, you might have to make it rain to fix your bumper. So switch to Allstate, save money, and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
Based on coverage and limits selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at Blockchain.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back to the Players Lounge.
This is how we country. Country Music Party of the Year is coming to the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco. The Academy of Country Music Awards are always bringing you country music's brightest stars together under one roof, and no one does a country like Texas. Witness history on May 11th. Get your tickets at SeatGeek.com. Back in action here on the Players Lounge with my man Barry Church and Danny McCray. Mm-hmm. We're trying to console one another with our negativity. and it's not working, man. I tell you what, it was a good weekend of football. Good weekend of football. We saw a lot of man, look, say what you want to about Joe Burrow, all right? But Joe Cool.
He that guy, man.
He that dude.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, man. It's hard to hate. It's hard.
Thank you, bro. Thank you.
It's hard.
Church finally admitted.
Nui. He said it, Nui. He said it, Nui.
I would like to hear him say better than Justin Herbert, but I mean,
no,
we can't get that.
I can't go that far. But I'll say this, man. Burrow is that guy. He's that guy. He second best quarterback in the league, man.
Who's first?
Mahomes. But he's the second best quarterback in the league.
Mahomes ain't never beat who?
He didn't. But
you got another shot. Oh, you got another shot coming up this weekend.
Yeah, we're going to see.
If the man go 4-0, I don't care about
the hype. If he do that, then he can get over top of my guy. But yeah. Look, man, Burrow, man, I didn't like what I saw from my guy Herbert. I know this was, you know, weeks ago, but when the lights came too bright, I mean, he just looked scared in his eyes. But the same, when you talk about Burrow in the same situation, he Joe Cool, man. He cool, calm, and collected, man. So that, yeah, he that guy, man.
Joe, you know, told him to go get the refunds for them, all them tickets they sold out there in Atlanta.
The nerve. That man said, go get your money back. God,
man, Diggs about to fight Island on the side. Yeah. Like, man, what are we doing out here?
Man, I tell you, that's when you know you're falling apart. And your other boys, D-Mac, they went handling their business on Saturday.
You talking about Philly? I'm talking about Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, Philly. They went handling their business. 38-7 over the New York Giants, man. Made the Giants look as though they did not belong.
And they was hot. Giants was hot, too.
Yeah, they were. They
almost 300 yards rushing on their butt. Mm.
Danny Dimes went for 135.
Mm. How many turnovers?
Oof, he had one, but he was harassed.
That D-line looked crazy.
They were all over Danny, boy. Danny couldn't do anything. Saquon ran for 61 yards. They shut the run down. But the tell of the tape for Philly was 268 yards rushing.
Miles Sanders went dumb.
My God.
Dumb on him out there.
What is going up? 268. And that was the end of the Giants story. So the Philadelphia Eagles go from first-round exit last season to now playing for an NFC championship in Philadelphia, and in part because they got behind their defense and their defense did work. I want to talk about the Cowboys' defense. Mm-hmm. And I got this to say about everything that I saw yesterday. The big briefcase, the bazooka, I'm getting behind that.
Okay. Oh, he's that guy.
I'm getting behind that.
He's that guy.
What I saw yesterday said to me, you know what? The future's bright. We're going to lose Dan Quinn. We're going to lose some
people. Oh, he's out of here.
He out of here.
Knew he was right. He out of here.
I mean, it's just – but he can't take the bazooka with him.
He can't do that.
Can't do that. We got right that. Hey, don't wish that on us. Knock on something. Knock on something right now, okay? Because we can't have that, all right? But that guy is worth building around, and there's so much about that defense that I just looked at, and I said, man – these guys came to play. I talked about 27 yards rushing yesterday at half, and the way that they held those playmakers in check the entire game. Let's just go down this list, okay? Elijah Mitchell, 51 yards. Christian McCaffrey, 35 yards rushing. I'm talking about Deebo Samuels, 4 carries for 11 yards yesterday. If I just showed you the stats alone, and didn't tell you who won the game, I swear you would say that the Cowboys won this game. Kittle, 5 for 95. Deebo Samuels, 4 for 45. And that's in the passing game. Complete domination on my side from the Dallas Cowboys defense. What were your thoughts the entire game? When you got to the end of it, what did you say to yourself about the way that this defense performed?
Hey, that's your man.
Listen, I was happy with it. I think the players that we expected to come out and play and that needed to play big games with the DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons as being the leaders of this defense, they came out and they were ready to go. And they've been like that. They've been like, if you look at the season, these guys have showed up and they've been ready to play, all right? When you look at how our defensive backs played, I think we confused Brock Purdy a little bit. I think we still got – we covered the receivers well enough for him not to be down there scoring a whole bunch of touchdowns. So our secondary, injured and all that, rookies and new guys stepping in to play, they did what they were supposed to do. Only thing I wish we would have done better is jam up George Kittle on the line because we would just let him get that free release and he would angle you out and hit back in. But, I mean, if that's all – it's the only complaint I got, this is one of the best rushing teams in the league. Our Achilles heel has been stopping the run. And we knew if we didn't do that, we would get run out of the stadium.
Yeah.
They scored 19 points.
That's got to be enough.
They scored 19 points. Your quarterback turned the ball over in your own territory.
Holding a three.
Holding a three. They scored one touchdown.
That's it.
You did – how do I feel about this defense? They did exactly what they were supposed to do. Yeah. And they should have told their offense, protect the ball – and we'll win this game for you. That is how our team is built, and if we continue to do that throughout the season, make sure we end the drive with a kick every time, we can win this game. So if I'm looking over at the office, I'm like, Mary, y'all, hey, I'm upset with y'all. 2 years in a row, same squad, I'm upset with y'all. Because we held them to enough points last season where we could have got that win, and this year we came out and we did everything right. And y'all let us down.
Play general manager right now.
Okay.
You got the money. You got the bag.
All right.
All right. Mm-hmm. You got the bag, and you're going to find out who these guys has got to get paid.
There's okay? some guys that need it.
There's some guys that need it. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about on that defensive side.
Mm-hmm.
LVE. Mm-hmm. Do you re-sign LVE?
At first, I was thinking to myself, you know, the early part in the season, nah, I wouldn't, you know, he's cool, but he's not, you know, he's not, you know, Fred Warner or something like that. Yeah. Man, after these last, you know, ever since he's coming back from the injuries, Tampa Bay game, this game, and even before that, the latter part of the season, he's played his tail off. And to me, he's earned another contract. Now, would I make him the highest paid linebacker? No. You know, I'd give him, you know, a nice, nice deal. But that guy was instrumental in what they were able to do against Tampa Bay. I mean, his presence in the middle of the field against the run and the pass was outstanding. And in this game, he was an instrumental part of how they slowed down Christian McCaffrey out there. Have you seen a lot of those crossing routes, over routes? He was sitting right there in position. So would I make him the highest paid? No, but I would definitely try to get that man back, man.
Can we put this in the context of saying you do understand that Dan Quinn is probably out of here?
Yeah.
No matter who, last time we switched up defensive coordinators, him and Jalen was almost both out the building. Yeah. We both sitting here talking about being on the bubble. So in context, Dan Quinn is gone, the guy who knows how to put these guys in the right position.
He's definitely healthy, and you know, I think I like what I've seen.
He's had a hell of a season.
You put on your general manager hat, Donovan Wilson.
Absolutely. And the reason why is because a lot of these teams now, a lot of times, what you don't see now is that enforcer. Like, safeties get out there and they got the skill to cover guys and, you know, they'll make the tackle or whatever. But when you got a guy who other teams and receivers and tight ends coming across the middle and they fear a guy because he's setting the tone like he is, you got to make sure you keep that guy.
Yeah.
Highest paid safety? Nah.
No.
But my offer is going to be competitive for anybody else that comes to try to get the guy.
Devil's advocate, though. I mean, you've seen Donovan Wilson. He is the enforcer. He's everything that you just said that he is. But he is sometimes a liability in passing. We saw that in that penalty with Kittle.
Mm-hmm.
All right, when we got the sack and then they called the P.I. That was big.
Or even when he pressed him. Y'all saw
hello,
that.
Hello, hey, hello, hello. Come on, hey. Hey. And he threw the ball to McCaffrey.
Yeah,
and yes.
I was like,
oh, God, that was ugly.
He can work on it. But listen, when you listen to two guys you just named. Talk about Kittle and McCaffrey.
You talk about two, they
both top five in their position easily.
And that's one of the instances where I got to say, all right, Dan Quinn, you've done a great job, but you got to know the personnel going on right there. Like, you got to know your man hasn't been, you know, man-to-man locking guys up all season long. That's a you know, responsibility for Curse.
Yeah.
Or, you know, one of those guys, McQuarmo or something like that.
He was giving it to Curse too, now.
He did.
Nobody out there ready.
No, nobody was innocent.
DeRon Bland got it.
He got it.
So let's not act like
we're keeping it real.
But for the season that he had, him being there, like when you look around the league and they talking about guys who are one of the hardest hitting safeties and they make sure they're going to be the enforcer on the squad. Donovan Wilson's name is popping up all over the place. So you don't pay him, somebody is.
No,
that's real quick. Let me ask y'all a question. Real quick. I gotta ask because this is on my mind, man. Uh-oh. I gotta ask y'all. What was y'all thinking when my dog Kittle was bobbling that thing in the air? And your boy, I'd be hell of a corner. Don't give me hell of a corner. I'd have him as my. I'd build around him just as much as Parsons. Had an opportunity to make play. And that was the turning point to me, because that gave all the momentum to San Fran, and he kind of closed his eyes and ducked away. What was your thoughts on that one, man?
He didn't kind of close his eyes.
He did. I tried to help him.
No, he didn't. He didn't kind of close his eyes. I said in that moment, I wish that was Donovan Wilson instead of him.
Yeah.
Because I know what Donovan would have done. Mm-hmm. He'd have separated that ball from Kittle.
Easily.
And that's all he needed to do. He didn't need to make a play where he intercepted the ball. All we needed was receiver separated from ball. He's already bobbling the ball. And look, man, we've seen business decisions get made all season long, man. Now we have, man. Y'all called it out all season long. We've seen it, man. And this is just another instance of a business decision.
Yeah.
And, like, man, I don't want to put that on Trayvon Diggs to say that, man, he's a softy or anything like that, man. Because you play professional football, there's no way that you are.
Exactly.
But in a moment like that, man, you know what the assignment is. I got to separate you from this,
that's
dog.
It.
Not true. Not true. Hey, man, if you don't have it in you, we played the game for a long time.
Yeah.
That ain't something you just get in you. If you always are that guy, right? Hey, man, I'm gonna make the tackle. If I see a receiver coming out in the flat, yeah, I make a big hit. You talking about George Kittle coming down the middle of the field? He got time. He knows. Them hits hurt.
Can I the playoffs?
Hold on.
Hey, man, but if you ain't done it. If you haven't been that guy, it's hard for you to turn around and be like, I'm going to do it now.
I'm calling Cap right now, okay. On that, because I know you respect this man enough to that, and you are in that situation, and I'm not saying you've made any business decisions on the football field, but you know, in film study, if you sitting there with Barry Church and y'all got that little red beam in y'all hand, and you go, D-Mac, what in H-Town –
how many times y'all think he had that conversation this season? Just saying, it ain't changed. It ain't changed. You think they ain't say, man? Somebody sit back there saying, all right, you got to be better at it. But, I mean, just keep covering. Somebody, you know what I'm saying? But so
I can see if he, like, just kind of slapped at it or something. The man totally turned his back.
Hey, listen,
by. Like,
he closed his eyes. He was hoping that it landed. Okay. I've seen worse. I've seen worse. I didn't expect anything different from the guy.
You were surprised.
When you see,
oh man, I thought I was gonna get it.
When you seen that the number was 7, were you surprised?
Not at the outcome. But I'm like,
dog. All right.
He hit the man's shoes or something, man.
And he almost eliminated Neville Gallimore. Thankfully, Neville Gallimore had reflexes enough to get his legs out. Took him out. Whole leg out, man. That was that was so bad. That was so bad.
But defense played great.
Yes.
That was so bad. I mean, because I think of what you were talking about at that particular moment in the game, that was the momentum sealer for this. Like, they stole all of the momentum that the defense, I think that was the third, I believe it was a third down.
Third and 12.
Yeah.
And they were backed up on like their own 15 or 12 or something like that.
And that play really just lit them off. And you would like to think that situational awareness, we've got to try and get this ball back. And they continue that drive. And I think that's the one where they went in and scored. But, man, that's just one of those instances that we've seen on defense where, look, man, we need a guy in position to know what's going on and take advantage of the opportunity, because he cannot make that catch. But, look, we're going to take our last break. I can't promise any positivity.
We got positivity.
We do?
Yeah, special teams next. And not Maher.
Are you talking about your man?
Because as much for as much as we've talked about the guy on here, Nick,
give me some praise.
You got
man.
You,
buddy.
All right, well, we're gonna take our last break. Man. We'll be right back. D-Mac got a surprise for us then. All right, on the Players Lounge.
I'm just.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. You hear that? I'm a torrential downpour.
Torrential? What's that even mean? It means you can't see out of your windshield. And if you have the wrong car insurance, you might have to make it rain to fix your bumper. So switch to Allstate, save money, and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
Based on coverage and limits selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at Blockchain.com.
Want to use what the pros use? How about the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys? Jack Black. Right now you can get the Jack Black Starter, a curated collection of Cowboys locker room favorites for just $10 with free shipping. The starter includes four Jack Black skincare favorites plus a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Go to getjackblack.com/cowboys and use the code word TEAMJB. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys. The Jack Black Starter, $10. Free shipping!
With Smoothie King's original Angel Food and new Angel Food Slim without added sugar, you no longer have to choose between treating yourself and hitting your goals this summer. You don't have to choose between great taste and feeling great. Because at Smoothie King, every blend is made with whole fruits and no syrups, so you can satisfy your cravings without compromise. The only choice you will need to make is which one is best for you. Try our classic Angel Food or the new Angel Food Slim, blended without added sugar. Smoothie King. Rule the day.
Back to the Players' Lounge.
Just steps away from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters in Frisco, visit the Star District, your destination for excellent dining, premier shopping, and exciting events. Visit thestardistrict.com for more information. Back here at the Star, in the podcast studio. I don't feel any better, guys. I was looking forward to seeing y'all, and I was hoping y'all were going to lift my spirits, and this ain't happening.
Oh, it's going to be negative after I talk.
Okay.
Because, I want to give some shout-out to my man, Kelvin Joseph.
Boss Man Fat. I think we can call him Boss Man Fat right now. We can call him
Drop a track.
Hey, BMF, baby.
Drop a track,
if
man.
You win that game, you are circling that play as one of the big reasons for why you were able to get to the NFC Championship. That is a huge play, and it was intentional. It wasn't an accident like me and Church talked about. You see it in his face. Hey, man, I'm going to get the ball. And that's a huge play. So shout out to him, man. He's had a rough year, especially when he came over to playing defensive back. But on special teams, the guy makes plays. He might be a bonehead every once in a while with catch interference, some stuff like that. But for the most part, I can see why the special teams coach loves him. So shout out to him.
Okay. How about that? Now, Kelvin Joseph compliment on the Players'
Lounge. I can't believe it.
What time is it?
Now, let's finish off with that last play.
Yeah, let's.
Aww. Yeah. You think we're going to leave that on? Come on now.
I thought we could. No. I swear to God, I was not going to talk about that.
No, man.
On purpose.
Are you serious?
On purpose. I was not going to talk about that play on purpose.
Because y'all might have a different idea than what. Because I need to know. I got to know. Maybe because Church, he the film and all that stuff. Please, bro. I know what it was supposed to be, but tell me why.
That's not what you want to do. To me, it's funny because you can tell when they practice it, in practice, as Zeke snapped the ball, it wasn't nobody rushing. As soon as he snapped that thing, he just kind of stood there like, yeah, this is what I do in practice. Man, Armstead came through ran. Oh, they almost got my dog killed on the last play, man. But that was just not it. what was you thinking? I understand you 70 yards out, 65 yards out, there's not really much you can do, but give me something. Man, drop back, just launch, cork that thing 50-some yards and hope for the best. Rather than that, what the heck was going to happen?
That makes me so
bro,
sick.
Bro, first of all, nobody looked like they were sprinting. They look like they ever did that full speed. That was like what they do on Saturday, right before we get on the plane with their tennis shoes on. Everybody was, I was like, well.
What's the name of that play? I just want to know what do they have that filed under.
Puerto Rico.
What? Yeah.
Bro, it was. I just, you know, as Cowboys fans, like you start to learn, like, why these people so pissed off. You think about the last two seasons, what people have to remember for the rest of it until we get back to training camp. The last two plays, okay? Last year, Dak Prescott runs out of time.
The last thing in your mind for the whole season, that's all you saw all through the summertime.
It's called the vacation play.
The vacation play. That's what you just get. Yeah.
First class. I'm just throwing it out. I have no idea.
And now I can't
that's
a good one. That's the last memory I got of you from they looking at Zeke snap the ball, and you just see 21.
Just hold on.
That's how and I got to remember this, though.
And the worst part is they throw it out to poor Turpin, and he
got cut in half.
I remember when James Hanna got hit like that. We was playing Washington, and it was the final play. They caught him, folded him in half. It's just bad, bro, and it's a representation of you know, our offensive effort. That night. But shout out to Tony Pollard, too, man, because hey, you missed him.
No, that's another one of those go into your general manager bag, because Tony Pollard's influence on this offense was evident when he went out of the game. So much of the plays that we're used to having those explosive runs on, or at least him out in the flat to catch those passes. Dak wasn't even looking in the direction of Zeke a couple times on plays like that. Man, you have a decision to make with Tony Pollard. And is he one of the guys that you even fool around with tagging him and all that? Are you saying, hey, don't even mess around. Let's get a long-term deal done with TP right
let
now.
Him, you can't let him leave the building. You can't let him, you know, test the market. Whatever you got to do to keep him in there, if it ain't a deal, make sure you tag him something. But he got to be wearing that star next year. I mean, you just see how instrumental he is to this offense overall. Because when you look at it, I mean, two of the most explosive players on your team. One, you got a wide receiver in CeeDee Lamb. And then two, you got a running back slash wide receiver in Tony Pollard. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's too instrumental to what this team does for him to leave. I mean, because then what's your backup? You got Zeke and, you know, Malik Davis or somebody like that. It's just not going to work. We've just seen it now. Zeke, for whatever it is, he's still a good back, but he's just not what he once was.
Not explosive like that.
You got to have explosive plays.
Tony Pollard is a different type of explosive from a lot of backs in the league. And I think when you see San Francisco go get a Christian McCaffrey and then they say, well, that's what we needed, that is what Tony Pollard is to us at this moment. Of like, without Tony Pollard and with the wide receiver core that we have right now, like what else do you have if you're missing him? And it was evident. Like you said, I think the most evident part of it was getting out into the flat, being able to run angle routes, kind of get mismatches on those linebackers, because we really missed that. I mean, the one that Dak did throw to Zeke was almost out of bounds. And yeah, just
that's another one of those crazy ones. You talked about Dalton Schultz last week and his influence in the Tampa game and how he may be a guy that you don't let out of the building as well. And he's made a strong case for himself after getting himself back healthy. Is he somebody else? Even after the loss yesterday, 5 catches, 27 yards. Danny, do you say, hey, I got to work out a deal with him?
Yeah, Dak, your quarterback, yeah, you need Dalton Schultz. For whatever that last drive looked like, Dalton Schultz got the touchdown. Schultz was open to make the plays. Did it get lackadaisical at moments? Yeah, but throughout this season, him and Dak's connection, that is something that you probably don't want to go into next season without.
Tough question, though. Tough question. From what you've seen in this game, and I'm sure everybody's going to replay this over and over again, Dak missed some throws. He missed opportunities. We're going to talk about Kellen Moore and obviously him maybe moving on, the possibility everybody's down on him. But there were plays that he drew up that any other top 10 quarterback in the league, they can make that throw. CeeDee Lamb still running on that tough catch that he made.
T.Y. Hilton on the scene,
he's still running. MG, for as worst of that game that he had an opportunity to make a play as well. Dak couldn't make that throw. When you look into the future, because now I'm like, hey, you can't fool yourself. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. He's prone to turning the ball over. He's inconsistent. You look at this team in the future and where you're going with Dak Prescott, where is your mind right now saying that four is going to be at the helm? Are you saying we need to make a move on, groove on? Or are you saying to yourself, hey, man, we just need to get more talent around him?
Look, I think you gotta keep him here. I think they will keep him here. But I think you got to get somebody. I'm not saying, you know, first, second, you know, round draft, but bring somebody that can at least push him just a little bit. Because from now, we all understand Cooper Rush, as good as he played in that 5 weeks, he's never going to be able to take over the job for Dak Prescott. It is what it is. So maybe bring somebody in here to push him a little bit. But I think at least for next year and maybe the year after that, not sure how his contract works out, but you got to keep him around. You got to keep him around. Or if not, you know, trade him and have a valuable piece come back for it. But, yeah, you got to go with him moving forward and – He had talent around him, though. That's the crazy part. He had talent around him.
He got to protect the ball. And I think – I don't know what the relationship is between him and Kellen and him and Mike McCarthy, but he needs somebody to be on him. Hey man, you effing up. Yeah. Like, you ain't seeing this. Yeah, ain't seeing this right. Come over here to the bench after it's over with, all right? Sit down, and we need to find out what we need to do because this ain't right.
This ain't it.
Because I think, man, with the abundance of turnovers that the dude was like, 70. Who you responsible to your teammates, I get it, but who is in your ear telling you that you messing up and you need to change something and that you are there, you are really responding to them? I think he needs that guy. John Kitna was the guy for him. Kitna probably not coming back, but like find somebody like that to help Dak out, because right now I think this season was like he not responding to whatever it is that's being told to him.
And real quick, what were your thoughts on our wide receiving group? Obviously, CeeDee Lamb had a night, but your other wide receivers, non-existent. Do you put that obviously in the hands of Dak and just say it's because your quarterback was misfiring all night? But none of those guys showed up either.
Nah, you're right. To me, right now, the passing game is either CeeDee Lamb or bust. And that's not how it can be. You got to have some other option. And we thought, you know, Michael Gallup would be that second option. Right. And maybe next year when he has a whole, you know, year under his belt with that ACL, he'll come back to the Michael Gallup of old. But we have to have something step up. I mean, because T.Y. Hilton, he's not getting any younger. You know, James Tolbert, the guy you drafted in the third round, he hasn't sniffed the field all year. Just basically a red shirt year. So I could see them going out there and getting more talent. But, I mean, you got to make something happen. Because outside of CeeDee Lamb, none of those guys can consistently beat man-to-man coverage. And without CeeDee Lamb, I mean, it's like, you know, CeeDee or bust.
Yeah, there's no consolation prizes to losing in the playoffs. I think we felt like we had a talented enough team to push and get to an NFC championship. You've talked about it all year. I think that, hey, if they did not make it to the NFC championship, this was going to be a disappointing season. And I think you're right. Everyone is disappointed in the way that the season ended, because you felt like of all the years you have had the talent to get there. If not defensively, you felt like you had enough to get you over the hill, and you didn't get there. And then you get bounced out of the playoffs by the same team that got you last year. But you know what? It is the offseason. As we slide into the offseason, here is where we are. I didn't make it like this. They forced me here. But it's okay. It's okay. We're going to take a deep breath together, and we're going to get through this. But, man, you may not want to hear it, but we're going to have to find a way to be better next year. I know that ain't what you want to hear.
That's it.
That ain't what you want to hear, but that's all we got. All right, Newish Grubbs will be back tomorrow for the Players Lounge, and we'll do it again. We'll try and figure it out with Newy here tomorrow. All right, this has been the Players Lounge. We'll rock with you later.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!